Our Lady of Medjugorje's April 25th, 2024 Monthly Message for the World. Dear children, I am with you to tell you that I love you and to encourage you to prayer. Because Satan is strong, and every day his strength is stronger than those who have chosen death and hatred. You, little children, be prayer and my extended hands of love for all those who are in darkness and seek the light of our God. Thank you for having responded to my call.
It's surreal to think that we can be here on the earth, be spoke to from heaven. Nobody could ever imagine what is coming to us. What is it? It's intel. What is intel? What is the definition? Secret information or the gathering of such informations, intelligence. And the definition ends by saying military intelligence. This is an amazing time in the history of the world. In the subject of a lady speaking to us. Yes, you could say Noah and Moses and other prophets. You could say they gave what God showed them and the revealed intel. But there's nothing in the level of intel coming directly from heaven from a lady, directly to you and me and to the whole world. Why? Because we are in war, literally. And this war and the battle is so big, we have to get this intel, these messages, for two things: to tell us what to do and to warn us what the enemy is saying and what he's doing. A lady said today, Satan is strong. And every day, his strength is stronger. He's burying us. He's killing us. He's killing the church. Satan really doesn't want you to know he's working. And the things that are happening every day is from Satan. And it's incredible to me that a lady says, every day, his strength is stronger. So tomorrow, when you wake up, Satan is stronger. What is he going to do tomorrow? Every day, several times a day, we hear the most heinous things that happen that even somebody that's not even spiritual, you can't even imagine these things. Every day, there's a killing in ways that you could not think it up yourself. Satan is strong, and every day, his strength is stronger through those who have chosen death and hatred. So tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, more death, more hatred. How do we fight it? She says, you little children, be prayer and my extended hands of love for all those who are in darkness and seek the light of our God. Evidently, the situation is so big, so serious, that our lady has been sent down to the earth. Why? Because she said, if God had not sent me, the world would destroy itself. Our enemy is winning in the front lines. They're taking ground every day. And Our Lady wants to understand that you have to stop them. In the book of Luke, Jesus is talking to his apostles. He's talking about the temple. There won't be one stone on each other. They ask, when is that going to happen? Then he jumps to another part saying, in the future of what's happening right now. When you hear of wars and distress, do not be terrified. For this must first take place, but the end will not be at once. And he says, nation will rise against nation. Is that not happening right now? Is this what Jesus is talking about? He continues and says, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places of famines, pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Not from hell, from heaven. The three secrets coming are signs. The permanent signs on the mountain is coming down from heaven. What Our Lady's been showing us, that Satan, through man, can destroy the whole world. On the 20 years of the anniversaries of Our Lady's messages, I wrote a special writing. And it showed over and over and over Our Lady blocked atomic bombs be dropped. It's a fascinating reading of what Our Lady did. There's some intel. And beginning in April, this month, has been a big, big secret. It's never been released. It's been kept from us for decades. And it's about what happens in a nuclear attack. What you're about to hear, how horrible just one bomb drop, if one is sent, it's not going to be one. It's going to be more. There's already targets all across the United States. In 1961, we were on the verge of nuclear bombs. I was 9. And everybody, adults down to children, was in fear. It was a reality. Kennedy versus Khrushchev. I remember here in Alabama, military tanks, trucks, cannons. There was no freeway. We'll be sitting in the car at a red light for a convoy for 30, 45 minutes. Everything was going to Miami. The news was saying there's so much military that was going down to Florida, it was going to sink. It wasn't, but that's what they're saying. And all that came through Birmingham, and it was scary. Now, we're on a verge, and we can say to the message of the lady, what she's saying to us, Satan wants to do something every day. He wants World War III. So here's this classified document just released a few weeks ago.
The Day of Nuclear Armageddon. Newly classified documents reveal in macabre minute-by-minute detail what the end of the world would look like, and why those vaporized instantly by an atomic bomb will be the lucky ones. April 6th, 2024, by Annie Jacobson. This story of what the moments after a nuclear missile launch could look like is based on facts sourced from exclusive interviews with presidential advisors, cabinet members, nuclear weapons engineers, scientists, soldiers, airmen, special operators, Secret Service, emergency management experts, intelligence analysts, civil servants, and others who have worked on these macabre scenarios over decades. As the plans for general nuclear war are among the most classified secrets held by the U.S. government, the scenario postulated here takes the reader up to the razor's edge of what can legally be known. Declassified documents, obfuscated for decades, fill in the details with terrifying clarity. Because the Pentagon is a top target for a strike by America's nuclear-armed enemies, in the scenario that follows, Washington, D.C. gets hit first with a 1 megaton thermonuclear bomb. A bolt-out-of-the-blue attack against D.C. is what everyone in D.C. fears most, says Andrew Weber, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear, Chemical, and Biological Defense Programs. Bolt out of the blue is how U.S. Nuclear Command and Control refers to an unwarned large nuclear attack. A nuclear strike on the Pentagon is just the beginning of a scenario, the finality of which will be the end of civilization as we know it. This is the reality of the world in which we live. The nuclear war scenario proposed in this book could happen tomorrow or later today. The world could end in the next couple of hours, warns General Robert Keller, the former commander of the United States Strategic Command. A 1 megaton thermonuclear weapon detonation begins with a flash of light and heat so tremendous, it is impossible for the human mind to comprehend. 180 million degrees Fahrenheit is 4 or 5 times hotter than the temperature at the center of the sun. DC's subway, known as the Metro, would become a furnace a few seconds after the blast, with all the oxygen sucked out of its tunnels and passengers who avoided burning to death suffocating instead. In the first fraction of a millisecond after the bomb strikes the Pentagon outside Washington, D.C., there is light. Soft X-ray light with a very short wavelength. The light superheats the surrounding air to millions of degrees, creating a massive fireball that expands at millions of miles per hour. Within a few seconds, the fireball has increased to a diameter of a little more than a mile. Its heat so intense that concrete explodes, metal melts or evaporates, stone shatters, and people instantaneously convert into combusting carbon. The five-story, five-sided structure of the Pentagon and everything inside its 6.5 million square feet of office space explodes into superheated dust, all the walls shattering with the near-simultaneous arrival of a shockwave. All 27,000 employees perish instantly. Not a single thing in the fireball remains. Nothing. Ground zero is zeroed. Traveling at the speed of light, the radiating heat from the fireball ignites everything flammable several miles in every direction. Curtains, paper, books, wood fences, clothing, and dry leaves explode into flames and become kindling for a great firestorm that begins to consume a 100 or more square mile area that, prior to this flash of light, was the beating heart of American governance and home to 6 million people. Several hundred feet northwest of the Pentagon, all 639 acres of Arlington National Cemetery, including the 400,000 sets of bones and gravestones honoring the war dead, the visitors paying respects on this late winter afternoon, the groundskeepers mowing lawns, the arborists tending trees, the tour guides touring, the white-gloved members of the old guard keeping watch over the tomb of the unknowns, they are all instantly transformed into charred human figurines, into soot. Those incinerated are spared the horror that begins to be inflicted on the 1 to 2 million people gravely injured, but not yet dead. Across the Potomac River, a mile to the northeast, the marble walls and columns of the Lincoln and Jefferson memorials superheat, split, burst apart, and disintegrate. The steel and stone bridges and highways connecting these historic monuments to the surrounding environs heave and collapse. To the south, across Interstate 395, the spacious glass-walled fashion center at Pentagon City, with its abundance of stores filled with high-end clothing brands, household goods, restaurants and offices, food courts, and the adjacent Ritz-Carlton Pentagon City Hotel, are all obliterated. Ceiling joists, 2x4s, escalators, chandeliers, rugs, furniture, mannequins, dogs, squirrels, people, all burst into flames. It has been 3 seconds since the initial blast. There is a baseball game going on 2.5 miles due west at Nationals Park. The clothes on the majority of the 35,000 people watching the game catch fire. Those who don't quickly burn to death suffer intense third-degree burns. Their bodies are stripped of the outer layer of skin, exposing bloody dermis underneath. Third-degree burns require immediate specialized care and often limb amputation to prevent death. In Nationals Park, there might be a few thousand who somehow survive. They were inside, buying food or using the bathrooms, and they now desperately need a burn treatment center. But there are only 10 specialized burn beds in the entire Washington metropolitan area. At the MedStar Washington Hospital's Burn Center in central D.C. And because this facility is about 5 miles northeast of the Pentagon, it no longer functions, if it even exists. Within seconds, the thermal radiation has deeply burned the skin on roughly 1 million people, and 90% of them will die. A nuclear World War III is guaranteed to leave, at minimum, 2 billion dead. Most won't make it more than a few steps from where they're standing when the bomb detonates. They become what civil defense experts referred to in the 1950s, when these grim calculations first came to be, as dead when found. At Joint Base Anacostia-Bolling, a 1,000-acre military facility across the Potomac to the southeast, there are another 17,000 victims, including almost everyone working at the Defense Intelligence Agency headquarters, the White House Communications Agency headquarters, the U.S. Coast Guard Station Washington, the Marine One helicopter hangar, and scores of other heavily guarded federal facilities that cater to the nation's security. At the National Defense University, a majority of the 4,000 students are dead or dying. With no shortness of tragic irony, this university, funded by the Pentagon and founded on America's 200th birthday, is where officers go to learn military tactics to achieve U.S. national security dominance around the world. This university is not the only military-themed higher learning institution obliterated in the nuclear first strike. The Eisenhower School for National Security and Resource Strategy, the National War College, the Inter-American Defense College, the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, all immediately ceased to exist. Humans created the nuclear weapon in the 20th century to save the world from evil. And now, in the 21st century, the nuclear weapon is about to destroy it. The science behind the bomb is profound. Embedded in the thermonuclear flash of light are two pulses of thermal radiation. The first pulse lasts a fraction of a second, after which comes the second pulse, which lasts several seconds and causes human skin to ignite and burn. The light pulses are silent. What follows is a thunderous roar. The intense heat generated by this nuclear explosion creates a high-pressure wave that moves out from its center point like a tsunami. A giant wall of highly compressed air traveling faster than the speed of sound. It mows people down, hurls others into the air, bursts lungs and eardrums, sucks bodies up and spits them out. In general, large buildings are destroyed by the change in air pressure, while people and objects, such as trees and utility poles, are destroyed by the wind, notes an archivist who compiles these morbid statistics for the Atomic Archive. All of Washington, D.C. becomes one mega inferno. As the nuclear fireball grows, this shock front delivers catastrophic destruction, bulldozing everything in its path for 3 miles. The air behind the blast wave accelerates, creating winds that reach several hundred miles per hour. Extraordinary speeds that are difficult to fathom. In 2012, Hurricane Sandy, which caused $55 billion worth of damage and killed 233 people from the Caribbean to Canada, had maximum sustained winds of roughly 80 miles per hour. The highest wind speed recorded on Earth is 253 miles per hour at a remote weather station in Australia. That which is not crushed by the blast is torn apart by this whipping wind. Objects as small as computers and cement blocks, and as large as 18-wheeler trucks and double-decker tour buses, become airborne like tennis balls. The nuclear fireball that has consumed everything in the initial 1.1-mile radius now rises up from the Earth at a rate of 250 to 350 feet per second. 35 seconds pass. The formation of the iconic mushroom cloud begins, its massive cap and stem, made up of incinerated people and civilization's debris, transmutes from a red to a brown to an orange hue. Next comes the deadly reverse suction effect, with objects, cars, people, light poles, street signs, parking meters, getting sucked back into the center of the burning inferno and consumed by flame. 60 seconds pass. The mushroom cap and stem, now grayish white, rises up 5, then 10 miles from ground zero. The cap grows too, stretching out 20, 30 miles across, billowing and blowing further out. Eventually, it reaches the troposphere, higher than commercial flights. Radioactive particles then spew across everything below as fallout, raining back down on the Earth. A nuclear bomb produces a witch's brew of radioactive products, which are also entrained in the cloud, the astrophysicist Carl Sagan warned decades ago. More than a million people are dead or dying, and fewer than 2 minutes have passed since detonation. Now, the inferno begins. This is different than the initial fireball. It is a megafire beyond measure. Gas lines explode one after the next, acting like giant flamethrowers, spewing steady streams of fire. Tanks containing flammable materials burst open. Chemical factories explode. Pilot lights on water heaters and furnaces act like torch lighters, setting anything not already burning alight. Collapsed buildings become giant ovens. Open gaps in floors and roofs behave like chimneys. Carbon dioxide from the firestorm sinks down and settles into the metro's subway tunnels, asphyxiating passengers in their seats. People seeking shelter in basements and other spaces below ground vomit, convulse, become comatose, and die. Anyone above ground who is looking directly at the blast, in some cases as far as 13 miles away, is blinded. 15 miles out from the Pentagon, cars and buses crash into one another. Asphalt streets turn to liquid from intense heat, trapping survivors as if caught in molten lava or quicksand. Hurricane force winds fuel hundreds of fires into thousands of fires, into millions. 10 miles out, hot burning ash and flaming windborne debris ignite new fires, conflating one after another. All of Washington, D.C. becomes one mega inferno. 8, maybe 9 minutes pass. 10 and 12 miles out from ground zero, survivors shuffle in shock like the almost dead, unsure of what just happened, desperate to escape. Tens of thousands of people here have ruptured lungs. Crows, sparrows, and pigeons overhead catch fire and drop from the sky, as if it is raining birds. There is no electricity, no phone service, no 911. The electromagnetic pulse of the bomb obliterates all radio, internet, and TV. cars with electric ignition systems cannot restart. Water stations can't pump water. Saturated with lethal levels of radiation, the entire area is a no-go zone. Not for days will the rare survivors realize that help is not coming. Those who somehow manage to escape death from the blast, shockwave, and firestorm suddenly realize an insidious truth about nuclear war, that they are entirely on their own. Former Federal Emergency Management Agency Director Craig Fugate says their only hope for survival is to figure out how to self-survive. That begins a fight for food, water, etc. How and why do U.S. defense scientists know such hideous things? And with exacting precision? How does the U.S. government know so many nuclear effects-related facts, while the general public remains blind? The answer is as grotesque as the questions themselves, because for all these years, since the end of the Second World War, the U.S. government has been preparing for and rehearsing plans for a general nuclear war. A nuclear World War III that is guaranteed to leave, at minimum, 2 billion dead.
The question now is to ask, why would anybody to destroy a planet? Satan is in people's hearts that literally they would like to destroy the world. How many shootings we see, they're going to the school or wherever they're going, and they know they're going to die. But surely somebody don't want to do that. Ellie just told you that. Satan is strong, and every day his strength is stronger through those who have chosen death and hatred. The word that he said, those. Who are those? They had chosen death. We just heard now intel that's been classified. If a nuclear war happens, the world is destroyed in 2 hours. Do you question that? Just look at Israel. They just shot up 300 missiles. Russia has 5,889 nuclear warheads. China has 400. The United States has 5,244. And you just heard about one bomb. So you put 4 or 5 bombs up, going both ways, it won't take very long. A couple hours. It's very interesting that they just released this classified secrets this April. And this April 25th is not by chance. A lady loves us. So she wants to tell us something. She just gave us beautiful intel. She said today, I am with you to tell you. See, she's about to tell us something big. To tell you that I love you and to encourage you to prayer. So I say, why? She didn't say that. But she tells us why. To encourage you to prayer, because Satan is strong and every day his strength is stronger. Through those. Those are people. Those people are evil. Through those who have chosen death and hatred. Most of the world today will read this message. Okay, our lady's been saying this for 42 years. Now, do you think that, after breaking this open? Don't accept a lady saying the same things. She's not. In 1982, Yugoslavia, communist Russia, United States, there's a lot of tension. A lady was asked by the visionaries concerning a third world war. And a lady says, the third world war will not take place. Does that relieve you from nuclear bombs? It doesn't mean there's not going to be a nuclear bomb by somebody. I went to Japan about 3 years ago. I had a guide and went to Hiroshima, and it was horrible. I was at ground zero. I was blown away. This is World War II. Do you think Our Lady has anything to stop World War II? I discovered something amazing. They marked the site of Ground Zero. Every year, people come for peace. You want me to stun you? Because I was stunned. The date that they have this every year is on August 5th. If that doesn't give you chills. What is August 5th? A lady said in Medjugorje that her real birth date was August 5th. Walking through the museum and different things would happen to people. We don't want this to happen. And Our Lady certainly doesn't. We don't have to have World War III, but it doesn't mean just one still could happen. I urge you to call Caritas and ask for the anniversary, the 20th anniversary. You'll see documentation that I put together of many times Our Lady stopped a nuclear bomb being dropped. And what happened in Japan, you say, well, Our Lady had something to do with that? The Japanese people, they were going to fight till every one of them died. That atom bomb saved a lot of lives. In this 20th anniversary, you're going to see Our Lady did something else and stopped Russia, who was going to drop a bunch of bombs. I'm not going to spoil it for you. You have to read it. It's fascinating because Our Lady intervened. I want to end with something about the world and where we are right now. And we need to go home. We are suffering of people everywhere who doesn't have a home. They may live in a house, but a home is different. And we've lost that. No man. Many people are flipping their houses to go to a bigger one or make money off it. We've got to settle down. We have to make roots to what you can always come back. To what your home is. And I end with this song. It speaks 1,000 words.
Cause I can't fly and I can't drive back home. But I can feel all your cries on the phone. God only knows all that's wrong. So pray me back home again. Think of me every time you.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Cause I can't fly and I can't drive back home. But I can feel all your cries on the phone. God only knows all that's wrong. So pray me back home again. Pray for us with love and trust your spouse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Love your home. The Father in heaven, have a Father in home. Love your nation. You don't love this nation if you say and use the word democracy. United States is not. It's a republic. Every democracy burns up, and evil has good people saying our democracy, and that's what we turned into. Words are powerful. All of our forefathers hated democracy because it always destroys itself. I wrote a book about this. Ask for it. Words made something. We wish you, Our Lady. We love you. Good night.